Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, and welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, the podcast dedicated to building awareness, understanding, and strategies to help those with dyslexia. I'm your host, Lisa Parnello, dyslexia therapist and founder of Parnello Education Services. Join me as we dive into today's episode of Dyslexia Devoted. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dyslexia Devoted, whether this is your first episode or one of many. For episode number 91 today, we are talking about preparing kids for the best and the worst all at the same time. This episode might be a little bit shorter. We'll see. I'm going to try and go toward my normal amount, which is usually like 10 to 15 minutes. But I'm actually doing this between clients this morning, since yesterday I had the wonderful pleasure of training a fantastic group of teachers over by the beach, which was very cool because I got to go between the snow one day and the beach the next day, and it was the most California quintessential thing ever. So over the weekend, when I normally record and edit these podcasts, I was preparing to educate our teachers to be even more amazing than they already are. This week's episode about helping kids prepare for the best and worst is inspired by what is happening on Friday this week locally. Around here, the local private schools have an agreement that they will all tell the kids on Friday the 15th of March. The date exactly changes, but it's usually a Friday in somewhere in the middle of March, that all of the local schools agree to tell the kids whether they got admissions into next school year or not. And this is always a very nerve-wracking time for kids to find out where they get to go to school next year. Unfortunately, a lot of the schools around us locally do not have very good support for kids with dyslexia, especially if they fall under that more moderate range where they're not failing bad enough, so they don't get a lot of support. So a lot of times the kids around here will apply to go to private schools because sometimes they actually have more support than the public schools. And the other thing is, a lot of times they have smaller class sizes. So inevitably, even if they don't have a ton of like special ed kind of type programs at their school, they end up getting more attention from their teachers because they have those smaller class sizes. So not all of them are in dyslexia schools. Or sometimes some of the kids start off in a more specialized dyslexia type school with the goal that eventually they will go back to a regular classroom. And so this is that time of year where all of the kids are super apprehensive and nervous about finding out whether they got into the schools that they want to get into. I had several kids who were all abuzz last week, all thinking about what was going to happen on the 15th. And now that we are only a couple days away from that, I can only imagine the rest of my day is going to be filled with even more of those kinds of conversations. One of the things that I do is try to help the kids prepare for the best and the worst all at the same time. When the kids apply to schools, sometimes they apply to ones that are maybe a little outside their reach that I'm fairly certain they're not going to get into, but they applied to anyway. And sometimes they have ones they've applied to that maybe they don't think they want to go to, but might actually be really great placements for them. And sometimes we have kids who are rock stars who I think will get into all of the schools, but are super anxious anyway, because those tend to be those perfectionist kids who think they're going to fail even when they're amazing, because their anxieties are so high that they just always think they're going to fail. And those are usually the kids who actually are the most successful. I often see it a lot in some of our girls that they have extremely high functioning anxiety, where they look like they're perfect all the time, but it's really because they're a mental disaster in their heads, always trying to be better than they think they are. And they're actually pretty fantastic, and they're more working themselves up. So this week, I've been doing a few different things for the kids. So I've been helping them prepare for the fact they're going to be okay, no matter where they're going to be. No matter what school it is, we're going to get through it together. And the fact is, if they're in my office this year, they're probably going to be in my office again next year. Not because they have to be, but because a lot of times our students really thrive on relationships. So I'm often a continuity piece. When kids are transitioning between schools, they still have their Lisa time or Miss Parnello, depending on where they met me. If they met me at my last school, they usually call me Miss Parnello. And if they met me in my office, they call me Lisa a lot of times. And often I've been that continuity thread between the schools. So I help them at their previous school, but I can also help them transition into their new school. So when their new teachers don't know them very well, they know that I know them really well. A lot of times, a lot of the kids, I help them on their homework and things like that, and it's less about being a subject matter tutor as it is about being a tutor that really knows them and knows them well and knows what kind of support they need, even if they don't know how to ask for it the right way. And then, yes, I do teach them how to ask for support the right way with their brand new teachers. And then the next thing we do is talk about, all right, so what happens if you don't get into that school? What's the new plan? What school do you think you will get into, and why would that be okay if that's where you went to school anyway? Almost all the kids always get into something. I don't think I've ever had any where they truly didn't get into any of the schools they applied to. Or every once in a while they have, and then they've decided, actually, you know what? Maybe the local public school wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. Maybe I am functioning well enough. I don't need as much support as long as I have Miss Lisa time. So the big thing is helping them see what failure might look like and that it's actually not a total failure. A lot of times kids will catastrophize what will happen if they don't get XYZ. But oftentimes they make it sound far worse than it really is. And they just need a little bit of a nudge to notice it's actually going to be okay even if that one thing doesn't happen the way they wish it would. And sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. There's one of the girls I worked with that did all of these applications and tried really hard to get into these schools. She got in the school that she thought was going to be a great one, and she hated it. She actually switched back to the public school because she decided the teeny tiny private school that she worked so hard to get into wasn't actually a great experience for her. She was a social butterfly and really thrives in a larger setting where she can flutter between different groups of friends and not be in the same class of 20 kids for 4 years in a row. And the other thing I often work with the kids on are some regulation strategies. All right, so what can we do to refocus right now? All right, we're going to take a deep breath and say, I'm going to be okay. And I literally make them do that. Take a deep breath and say, I'm going to be okay. And to make them realize that it'll be just fine and that we have plenty of time to get prepared for the next school year and that finding out on March 15th still gives us like 3 months of the school year to do whatever it is we need to do to be super ready for that change for next year. Once they make those decisions about what school they can get into, then we can make plans. And a lot of times it's more of that anticipation that is the anxiety-provoking piece. Not so much about what happens after they get those letters and find out what schools they get into. Because then, at least once we know where they're going, we can make a pretty solid plan of what to do from here. It's this weird limbo time between they wrote all these essays and did all these questions and tried to put their best foot forward and did all the testing, and they submitted it all in December or January, and then they just sit there for 2 or 3 months just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then it all comes to a head and they're bumbling and just ready to explode by the time they finally get the results. And I must admit, I really appreciate that they do this on a Friday because I have seen a few kids get utterly crushed when they didn't get into the school they wanted to get into. And what I try to remind the kids when they don't get into the school they really wanted is that if you didn't get in, that means it probably wasn't a great fit for you. And even though you wanted to get in, that doesn't actually mean it was the best place for you. And I bet that means there's somewhere that's even better that will help you even more. And then sometimes there's also a numbers game, helping the kids realize sometimes there's only one empty slot in a school. This happens a lot when there are some of those more religious schools that start all the way at kindergarten. So some of those kids have been in that same school for a decade. And so there isn't a lot of wiggle room unless somebody happens to move out of the state or something. And there aren't very many spaces. So when 40 people apply for one spot, sometimes it's just a numbers game. And usually by the time middle and high school comes along, kids have learned ratios and fractions, and they realize the odds are not very high for one out of 40 people to get in, and it might have nothing to do with them. Kids get stuck in their own head, so if we can give them some of that perspective taking and make sure they understand it's not really about them. For example, there's one kiddo who wants to get into a really rigorous, high-achieving program that I don't think is great for her because I think it'll cause her to have huge anxiety attacks. Because That child is a perfectionist and always wants to do well. So if you put one of those kids into those really high pressure schools, they crumble like a tin can. And it's not something we actually want. So I would actually love that kid to put herself in a less high achieving school because she will push herself to be highly achieving no matter where she is. She doesn't need a pressure cooker to make her explode. We need kids to be successful and help them see what space will help them be successful, happy humans. Because a child full of anxiety and depression is not a successful human, even if they look like it on the outside to everybody else. And then sometimes the flip side happens. Sometimes a kid gets into one of those big high rigor schools and that's where they decide they want to go. And while that is really awesome they got in, we also have to prepare them for what is school going to look like there compared to what it looks like here. I've had a couple kids go from really super supportive schools into ones that have a lot less support and a lot more rigor, and helping them be mentally prepared for how much extra homework they're going to have with how much less support they're going to have is a whole other challenge. So when we talk about what places might be a good place for a kid to go to school, we have to help them see what changes are going to happen between now and then. And thankfully, I've had really awesome parents who've already told me which kids are changing schools from a super supportive environment into a more rigorous one, whether that's public or private school. And then that way, this entire spring semester has been all about stepping up our game so that you can work at grade level, because you've been at a school that has been supporting you while you're working below grade level. And now's that crunch time where we really got to close the gap or school is going to be way too hard next year. So we can help the kids be supportive by showing them what does it look like when you make this transition. Finding out this week if you make it into this school or not is just the first step. This is where you take a deep breath and decide, all right, this is where I'm going next year. Here's what I got to do to be successful next year. And in the meantime, we've got a very anxiety-provoking 3 days ahead of us while we wait for these kids to get those results. But in the end, we have to remember, as long as they have the right support from parents, educators, and tutors, they'll be just fine no matter where they are. We just might have to change what that looks like. So what has them doing just fine now might need to change next year. Maybe it's a little more support. Maybe it's a little more rigor. Maybe it's a little more independence. Instead of having an adult help you do everything, it's learning how to do it on your own and then only ask an adult when you really can't do it anymore on your own, and learning how to self-advocate. Because if you're in a super supportive environment, somebody's just going to come check on you and say, hey, do you need help with anything? Versus in a less supportive environment, you have to actively go up to your teacher you're not quite familiar with yet and say, hey, I need help with XYZ. All right, that's it for today because I have a kiddo coming in very soon. So let's recap our episode for today. When kids are waiting to find out about things, sometimes we have to prepare them for what does it look like in a worst case scenario and what does it look like in a best case scenario. We also need to teach them how to use self-regulating strategies like preoccupying themselves and doing fun things and taking a deep breath and saying, I'm going to rock this. Everything's going to be awesome no matter what happens. And then sometimes being a shoulder for them to cry on if they don't get what they want. And very importantly, letting them know that sometimes if they didn't get what they want, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Sometimes when they didn't get in somewhere, that means that wasn't a great place for them anyway. And then maybe they can find a better place that they didn't expect to want to go to, but they can be just as successful or even more so. And we give them lots of love and support and show them, all right, now that you know where you're going to school next year, what are we going to do to make you ready to be there? Because there's going to be a transition. Transitions are hard for everybody. And how can we help this student be very well prepared for what changes are going to happen next year? Whether that's changes in how much actual academic support they have, changes into their teachers and who's familiar with what they do and don't need, learning how to ask for their accommodations so that when they get to their new school, they know how to ask for what they need, and knowing in the end, they will be just fine, even if it doesn't seem like it at first. All right, that's it for today. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And remember, as always, if you ever want to hear about any certain episode topics, just shoot me an email, lisa@parnelloeducation.com. Have a great day. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you want to learn even more about dyslexia, check out parnelloeducation.com/courses. See you next time.